At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
To the south of France, my colleague Simon Constable, who writes for Barron's, The Wall Street Journal, and other distinguished publications. We go immediately to the story of the markets, however, because recently Simon was visited by our good friend Brett Ahrens of MarketWatch. I had an opportunity to speak with Brett in these last hours, and we all reminded each other that the present global sell-off and the turnaround Tuesday and the what's underpriced, what's overpriced Wednesday, all of that adds up to we've been here before. Simon and I met during the Great Recession of 08-09 that lasted some years after that. This, however, does not feel the same fashion. The trigger, we're told, is the carry trade. There are lots of blame going around, but this is an opportunity to learn how markets get over-owned and then oversold. Simon, a very good day to you. It was the Magnificent Seven and the S&P 493. Now it's, I don't want to own any of this. Your response to these market motions, up and down, what is your recommendation for the modest investor and those with 401ks? Good day to you, Simon.
Good day to you, John. I would recommend with all these things is people remind themselves that markets go up and markets go down. They go in like the tide comes in on the shore. You have the tide coming in, the tide going out, the tide coming in, the tide going out. The only thing you have to remember about stocks is that over long periods of time, they trend upwards. So, okay, so we had a big crash, really, in Japan on Monday, and that influenced the rest of the world. But over time, that will look like a blip. So what happened in the U.S. on Monday and yesterday and today is really not relevant to how much you're going to have at the end of your saving period and when you want to retire or actually start using that money. So basically the thing is to sit tight and do nothing. That is the best, you know, the best way to approach investing is time with your money in the market. Leave it there, went down, it'll go up again. Just you don't know when it will go back up again, but over time, that will happen.
Detail, Simon. The word recession is back in the vocabulary here in the U.S. You're eventually going to hear it in Europe. That word had been banished as of last June, and it's back. That is a worry because that means job loss. That means corporations are going to be reporting disappointing earnings. That means more turbulence ahead. Are you hearing recession in Europe?
Well, recession in Europe has been happening, but it's been very modest recession. It's been sort of slightly under zero for a little while. So we're not seeing what America seems to have bigger surges upwards and in terms of economic growth and bigger surges downward in terms of economic growth. It's a much more active economy than the European economy, which is sort of in the doldrums, if you like. So technically, I think many countries in Europe have been in a recession, but it's not a big deal. What's a big deal is when or if America goes into recession, because it's by far the biggest and by far the most dynamic economy in the world. And when America has a little sneeze, you know, catches a cold, the rest of the world, you know, catches pneumonia economically, we're talking about. And that's the worry. Now, I'm not convinced yet that a recession is imminent. But yes, it is being spoken about by people. We'll see what happens. Hopefully we avoid it before the election. And you know, we hopefully, if one comes, it's a very mild one. But yes, it's a very important thing and will lead to a lot of volatility.
We go to the climate because of global warming, because there's a trend here that maybe weather, 7 years fair and 7 years foul, or maybe a pattern that's setting in. When last we spoke, you had a heat wave in the south of France that extended across the Mediterranean basin. You also had the Paris Olympics on, where they were having cooling stations. Has the weather stayed the same, or is it broken?
This morning, very early, when it was dark, it broke. We had a thunderstorm that was really quite bangy, if you like. It was like explosions popping in the air and a reasonable amount of rain coming down. I wouldn't say it was a flood or anything like we had much earlier in the year, but a lot of that rain came down. It was lovely and cool first thing, and now it's up into the 80s, and we'll basically, that will be the peak of the day, the 80s, you know, mid-80s. So that's a reasonably nice temperature. It certainly isn't in the high 90s or even 100 yet, and that's very good and very happy. So the heat wave seems to have broken, and let's hope it stays that way.
Paris Olympics. We want to correct what we understand was the record. Simon and I read the same thing several days past of E. coli striking the triathletes in the Seine. There's qualification about that right now. One of the athletes, a young woman named Michelle from the Belgian team, has qualified her sickness. She was in hospital, not as E. coli, but as a virus. We're not passing judgment on this. We're just updating. Because E. coli is clearly in the Seine. The question was it acceptable during the triathletes occasion? We don't know. However, I just mentioned, Simon, that that's not acceptable, that the Seine is a toxic environment. It looks quite wonderful on photographs, but clearly it's not for even dipping your foot in. So I wonder if France is going to attend to that. Is there a... You've got beautiful rivers in the south of France. Is it that the Parisians just shrug and wander away? They don't worry about it?
Well, it's a very big city, 20 million people. So you would kind of expect a river running through a very big city with a lot of sewage and a lot of commerce to have a dirty river going through it. It's not going to be clean. That's just the way it is. The same in London with the Thames. It's a big city with a lot of effluent and a lot of commerce, and those things tend to make rivers not as healthy as they could be, but it's maybe a necessary thing. Already, France has spent $1.5 billion on trying to clean up the Seine River, and clearly it hasn't done a 100% job. It may be cleaner than it was. I certainly wouldn't want to go for a swim in there unless I was trying to get away from somebody. And otherwise, I'll give it a skip.
Commodities. You've got any price movements in the variety we've been looking at, the metals, energy, food, especially lithium, any movement?
Yes, well, we've got Brent crude down at 78, and I haven't seen that for weeks being that low. $78 a barrel, Brent crude, which is the European benchmark and in many ways the global benchmark. Diesel fuel now here in France, €1.68 a liter, which is a good price. And I think I'm getting it about that same price when I look it around. Cocoa ticking up a bit, $8,842 per ton. That's a metric ton for there. No real change in coffee, still at $2.43 a pound. And orange juice pretty much the same at $4.30 a pound. Wheat falling, continuing to get this movement since May. Wheat is now $5.46 a bushel. It was down from $7.16 per bushel. That's a huge move. What is very interesting here is the lithium price continues to drift downwards. It's now 75,500 yuan, and it was massively more expensive. And this is all because of things going on within the electric car business. Copper down at 4 from 5, and that's been trending down for a little while too. And again, that will largely be building of domestic buildings, houses, apartments, things like that, and offices, and also the car business. You lose a lot of copper as well. So that's really the summary of what's been going on in it. You know, some big moves, some no moves.
In other words, what we do have here is there is a slowdown somewhere because that copper price reflects demand. There is clearly a slowdown in green tech. That would be lithium. That would be the EVs. We've talked about that before. The slowdown may be related to the American consumer backing off. I add in that we've reported these last days a fall off in McDonald's prices, as well as Starbucks prices and traffic, same store traffic. So there is a hesitation on the part of the consumers worldwide. We move now.
Part of that is uncertainty about who the next president and who the next parties are going to be in Congress in the U.S. And that's a big part of things. So we've got to keep a look on what happens there.
We come to your publication of reminding us all there was a day in which Google was for sale. My memory is $80. Do I remember that correctly, the IPO of Google?
It was very similar to that. It was, $85 a share. That was where it went public. But the founders of it had actually wanted it to be much higher, more like 100 when it went public. And they were persuaded to make it lower so that some of the initial bankers who had basically decided to take it public would make more money, I think was part of the issue. But what was interesting is they introduced a new way or a different way of going public, which was called the Dutch auction system. And in the end, the bankers were so against that that they had to do a hybrid version of that. But it did pop very, very high. It's high as $140.92. During that first day from 85. Now, that's a hell of a move. It really is quite an impressive move. And it did get through the $100 the founders wanted.
My memory also is there was a lot of doubt about it because they were young, because nobody understood search as a monetizing element. And we certainly didn't understand that it was going to take over the universe, so much so that I think it just got slapped down by courts again as a monopoly operation. So
the 20th anniversary of Google going public, it's now called Alphabet, and now it's getting sued. So something else to celebrate or not, depending on who you are.
And Google is also reflected in the market turbulence because it's connected to AI. AI is the new marketing tool, Simon. Once there was the dot-coms, we both remember the dot-com crash of 2000. Those were vivid days. It was this early spring. I was on my way to Disney World. And in those days, the airlines were experimenting with putting live internet on the back of the seat in front of you. So I had nothing better to do than watch the NASDAQ go through 5,000. Those were the days, Simon, because it reversed itself very quickly. And everything that was gold turned into dross. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.